Hey everybody, welcome to the Barbershop Group Podcast. Today is Monday, May 24th, Monday morning. Everybody's heading out to work or school or getting the kids ready or whatever it is that you do, coffee, pancakes, workout, water, hopefully something healthy. Because today we're going to talk about another aspect of health, and that is finance. I know that really sucks. A lot of people don't like to talk about finance, but you know, there are about 12 questions that you should probably be able to answer about your finances. If you can't, well, there's something that you can do about that too. If you can answer those questions, you just got to decide if you're willing to do it or not. You know, a lot of people really don't ask a lot of questions about finance, and they don't do financial self-checkups. But you know, talking to a few people within the barbershop group and some financial advisors and other folks, I think it's important that we start doing financial checkups, right? If you would ask a lot of people, you know, about the last time that they did like some maintenance on their finances, you probably get some confused looks. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions to that generalization, right? There are some people who work in the financial sector. They're aware of these things. But for the most part, you know, this isn't something that we consider every day. The fact is, you know, regular self-reflection about finance is extremely critical, extremely critical. And it can help us reach our life's goals and keep our families protected should anything unexpected happen. And well, we know that unexpected things happen all the time. So here's one question that you probably should ask yourself. And then, what are your financial life goals, right? If you define goals, if you have defined goals in place, it can provide needed motivation to examine your spending habits, potentially make beneficial changes, right? You don't want to get stuck in a rut, kind of have your head in the sand, you know. Check out your budgets, right? We should all have some kind of budget, no matter how much money we're making. And budgeting should really start, especially, you know, for couples, because that's what I'm talking to right now. You know, couples sitting down, talking about long-term goals that have a financial impact. And that includes everything from retirement, college tuition, to buying your teenager a used car. I know my neighbor just bought his son a used vehicle. You know, it made it to the house on a tow truck, didn't work. They called a mechanic, got it working. Now he's got a car that he can get back and forth to school in. So hey, there you go. By identifying what really matters to you, you can come away with a better sense of not only what you can spend, but also what you should be spending your money on, right? Again, so that's just kind of looking at your financial goals and life goals. The second thing to ask yourself is, do you have any debt? Obviously, the answer to that is probably yes. What kind of debt is it? There are different types of debt. You know, if you're in the red, one of the best ways to get yourself on track financially is to get serious about paying down high interest loans. Yep. But that requires some strategy. You know, you may have to consult a financial advisor or a personal banker to help develop that strategy. There's debt that's necessary to grow your future income versus debt that detracts you from your future. So we talk about good debt versus bad debt, right? So a really simple example of that is owning a home, paying down a mortgage, doubling up on paying down a mortgage, doing home renovations. That's going to be some good debt out there, provided you don't have to take out a whole big loan in order to do those types of things, right? Or a loan with a high APR. You don't want to have to do that. Now, bad debt, that car note, those types of things, yeah, just not great. We already know what happens to cars as soon as we take them off the lot. They depreciate. So clear examples of good debt versus bad debt. Number three, are you generating a budget surplus or deficit? So for couples who use credit cards on a regular basis, or they dip into the savings, knowing whether you are running a surplus or not, it gets a little muddier. But there's a reason to check into that, because sometimes, you know, you can be using your credit card to pay bills, right? And if you're not looking at the APR on that credit card and paying it down, you may be incurring more debt than what you think. right? And you're operating at a deficit, you see. So you kind of want to take a look at that. And I would suggest getting with a financial advisor, and your spouse or your partner, and sitting down to discuss that. Here's something that a lot of people don't like to think about, and that's what's your net worth. If your monthly cash surplus or deficit serves as a barometer for what direction you're headed in the short term, your net worth provides a broader snapshot of your financial health. So a 401k balance, home equity, or other assets, and subtracting any student loans or credit card balances and other such debt, that's the way you figure out what your net worth is. Again, so let's look at things like 401k balances, home equity, and other assets. Okay, subtract any student loans, credit card balances, or other debt from those things, and that's how you come up with your actual net worth. It's not just about, what your salary is, obviously. And we see a lot of people, they'll say, "Oh, I'm a millionaire." Well, but let's look at how you are a millionaire. Let's look at the total net worth. Or, I make $150,000 a year. Okay, but let's look at your total net worth with all those things included. That's kind of going to give you a clear snapshot of what you're actually working with. Now, here's something that's very scary for us too. That is, are we like on track for retirement? Because we know that the retirement game has changed a lot in America. Saving for retirement isn't like taking a test on your favorite subject. You don't get to cram and save up for retirement. You can't wait to the last minute to do it. And unfortunately, right now, it seems to be that's what a lot of like middle-aged people have done. And now, when I say middle-aged, I'm talking 35 to maybe 54 years old, something like that. Okay. You got to look at, steady contributions over decades when it comes to saving for retirement. It's not a lottery thing. Okay. A financial professional will be able to help crunch the numbers for you based on your retirement age and your lifestyle. Again, if you guys are not used to asking for help, get in the habit of asking for help. One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of financial planners and advisors talk about is people waiting too long to ask for help. Okay, so don't be embarrassed to do that. That's what they're there for, right? But, seeing the numbers when it comes to retirement, seeing the numbers allows you to take more ownership, right? The sixth thing you want to ask yourself is, am I striking a good balance between long-term and short-term needs? If you're not diligently putting money away for long-term needs now, you could be looking at a lot of extra time in the workplace to catch up. And that's extremely problematic, especially for minority men who, well, let's face it, we didn't get a head start on taking care of our physical health, right? So if you get sick and you've got to work longer, that's not really going to work out too well, right? You see, we know that there have been celebrities, in fact, one of whom passed away just a few weeks ago, who, did fairly well, but ended up racking up a lot of hospital debt, even before he passed away. You see, because nobody talked to this young man who, well, he was younger at the time. He was 50 plus when he passed away. Nobody talked to him about how to, look at his long-term needs, right? So at any rate, find a middle ground because you also need money now. So, you've got to put some money away for long-term needs, but you've got to be able to live now. If you sacrifice in different experiences or educational opportunities, for your kids just by focusing on retirement, then that's probably not going to be the right balance. Okay. So I'll give you an example. Can I afford to have my children or my child involved in gymnastics now? Because that's something that he wants to do, right? And if I'm looking at it going, nope, I can't do that. I can't put him in gymnastics because I've got to save for this or save for that or save for this. Well, is that the right balance? Again, financial professionals can help you guys figure that out. Number seven, is your home the right size financially? Okay, now in this case, I'm talking to people who own their home. If you're renting, well, that's a whole other thing to discuss on a separate podcast because a lot of renters obviously are losing money. And one of the rules of thumb, guys, is If you can't afford to buy a home, you're going to pay more, and that's just the way it goes. At any rate, is your home the right size financially? Is your mortgage too big? Is it more than 2.5 times your family's income? What about if you live like on the coast, on the East Coast, or the West Coast, for example? If you live on the coast, then is your mortgage 3 times your family's income? So you want to take a look at that. You kind of want to keep it underneath that threshold. Number 8, what's your portfolio allocation? You're talking about these stocks and investments, right? If you're older, you probably want to make sure that you've got a good mix of stocks and bonds, but you also want to evaluate your risk capacity when you get involved in things like that. If you are younger with children, then you may be able to, take on a little bit more risk and focus on some larger growth, that might be too risky for people who are older. Again, you can talk to investment professionals about that. And if you'd like to get in touch with someone who can discuss those things with you, there's someone on our team, on the Barbershop Group team, who you can talk to generally about things like that. Now, tax rate. This comes up a lot of times when it's a year, of voting, right? Everybody wants to talk about taxes. That was a big thing that you heard people talking about during this last election. But what is your marginal and effective tax rate? Knowing how much the IRS is going to take from you, from each additional dollar that you earn can help you figure out whether pursuing a side job is worth your time, and you factor that stuff in after the taxes, right? So a lot of people go, "Hey, I need a side hustle." But well, do you really? Are you really going to make money off of that side hustle, or is it also going to be eaten up in taxes? You got to kind of take a step back and look at those things. The other thing we hear people say, "Okay, it's important to invest in ourselves." Well, are you investing in your career? Right? Because one of the things that you've got to continue to do is you've got to continue to maximize your earning potential, right? And we see a lot of people out there today talking about $15 an hour, working at a restaurant, getting that. And the truth is, that's not a livable wage, and that's not maximizing your earning potential either. $15 an hour won't get you a healthy retirement. Let's just be honest. It's not a living wage. And so some of the people who may be trying to get that $15 an hour now, yeah, okay, you go for that higher wage, but another thing that you need to be doing is really, really investing in yourself to maximize your earning potential, right? Because that's not the top. For some folks, it can mean going back to school to earn a degree, right? That'll boost your long-term prospects. That might help. But for other people, even pursuing a specific certification could lead to slightly better pay. And in this day and age, when there's so much learning online, there are a lot of colleges and universities and other programs that you can enroll in where you can get these certifications for free or for a fraction of the cost. Adding those to your resume definitely help maximize your potential. Now, the 11th thing is this: if something were to happen to you, would your family be able to weather the storm financially? Back when Kobe Bryant passed away, I did an episode talking about life insurance. You can go back and take a look at that. But just, do you have an emergency fund that can handle 6 months or more of expenses? Do you have adequate life insurance? I can tell you a lot of the people that I talk to about life insurance, once we start crunching the numbers, they figure out, oh, shoot, I don't have enough life insurance. Yeah. And, I got to tell you guys, for me, we're having a lot of kids, and I need a lot of life insurance because I want to make sure that I'm leaving some financial wealth behind for each one of them, And you heard me talk about guys working up until their death, Do you have disability coverage? Okay. Do you have disability coverage that will kick in should something happen to you? It's extremely important. It's not just about flossing and having nice trips and everything. Now, you've got to think about some of those things that are definitely going to happen. Our bodies are going to get old. We're going to get sicker. We may get hurt on a job, or we may get hurt outside of work that impacts work. So you want to take a look at those things. And the last question is this: would your loved ones know what to do if you suddenly passed away? Having some cash and an insurance policy for your family is one thing, but making sure they can access those things, right, in the wake of an unforeseen tragedy or accident, that's imperative. You know, there are so many of us out there, and I'm talking to us guys, all right? We got a whole lot of passwords. Well, I mean, women have passwords too. We got a whole lot of passwords, man. We got a lot of protected stuff. And do our partners or spouses, our family members, those who are in our will and stuff, do they have access to those things? Or are we so private that nobody else can get to those things, right? If, you know, somebody doesn't know your bank account information, the login for your accounts, if they can't get in touch with the insurance companies, they don't have access to that stuff, right? That's going to be a problem. It's going to be so much harder for them to access the dollars and the information that you have helped build and leave behind for your family. So you got to kind of think about if you can trust the individual that you're with to take care of those things for you. Because here's the kicker: when you're on your hospital bed, if you make it there, you're not going to be able to rattle off the passwords while you're being saved or attempting to be saved from a heart attack. Doesn't work that way. So you need to make sure that they know how to handle things if you were to pass away. So just wanted to share those 12 things with you all. Those are 12 questions that you can ask yourself that will tell you a little bit more about where you stand financially. Again, these are questions that you ask you and your spouse. If you're single, you can ask yourself. You can think about things like this going forward, but it changes the way we men operate, and it helps us grow financially and in a mature fashion. So I hope that you guys will be well. Have a great Monday. As I always say, love you more, love your people more, and we'll talk to you soon.